This past weekend, I had the privilege of going to the North Florida Christian Camp with all of our middle school students and their leaders, and it was our Hang Ten weekend, which we have done for years and years and years, but it was the first time we had been able to do it since the pandemic. So it's been a good 3 years, and it was so good to be back into the space that was familiar, that so much ministry of our church has happened. It was good to be together and be able to do the things that we had done before, and it was good to be doing that with a whole new set of students that had never done this weekend and had no expectations of what it was going to be like, and we had so much fun. We played hard, we worshiped loud, we had a great speaker that talked about what it means to be a follower and disciple of Jesus. They had small group times with leaders where they got to dig in deeper to what their faith means as they apply it to their lives, and it really was such a fantastic weekend, and I want to show you just a small glimpse of what some of this looked like, so watch this. If you want more of that, you too could be a middle school leader. Just come see me after the service. But I show you that to just give you a taste of what the weekend was. And you saw in there a couple different clips where our speaker was talking. And our speaker this year was Shane Padgett. He is a youth and family pastor in Georgia. He came down to be with us for the weekend. And he brought with him his 8-year-old son, Andrew. And it actually Friday was Andrew's birthday. It was his 8th birthday. And so at our first club, which you saw in some of that video footage, we sang Andrew happy birthday, and we introduced him to everyone along with his dad. And then the rest of the weekend happened, and it was packed with energy and fun and all these things. Well, late Saturday night, they had to drive back to Georgia because they had to drive all night to get to church at 6:00 in the morning. So they left really late, and when they got in the car, Shane asked his son, you know, what did you think of the weekend? What did you learn, or what did you get out of it? And Andrew said, Dad, I want to be really kind to other kids I don't know. And he paused and he said, because Dad, these teenagers didn't know who I was, but they treated me like a friend. And I heard that and I thought, Okay, we don't even need to have this sermon series because that's it. But an 8-year-old has captured hospitality and the next 4 weeks of what we are going to be talking about in this sermon series. If I am asked now for a definition of hospitality or what that looks like, it's going to be just that. It's treating someone like a friend and not a stranger. When we look back at scripture to get an understanding of some of the origins of hospitality, in ancient days, hospitality revolved around this practice of inviting and welcoming strangers and travelers into your home. Because to be a traveler was dangerous. You would travel and you were at risk of being robbed or other violence. And so if you had a house to stay in, that offered some protection. But on the flip side, as travelers and strangers came into towns and villages, there was some suspicion of them too, because they could be the ones trying to cause harm. And so people thought if you invited them into your home, if you were hospitable, then you would gain their favor and they wouldn't, you know, do something bad to you because you had shown them, you had hosted them and shown them some grace. And so it kind of was this back and forth. It served two purposes. And then as time went on, it became both an endeavor of expense and some risk. And Jews and early Christians saw this not only as something to alleviate risk, but as something of really a way to serve God. We talk in scripture about hospitality, about welcoming the stranger. And early Christians saw hospitality as a way to please God by showing love for not only fellow worshipers, but also fellow travelers and strangers. So in Hebrews 13:2, a lot of you know this verse. It says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." And so this writer of Hebrews is writing this to a church, reminding them of stories that they were familiar with and they already knew. Stories back from the Old Testament of Abraham and Lot, who welcomed strangers into their homes and then found out later they were angels. They're being reminded of the life of Jesus, because you look at Jesus, and if you start looking at Jesus' stories, almost all of them are stories of hospitality, of Jesus welcoming people without care for status or identity. Accepting hospitality was something that he did as he and the disciples traveled on their mission together. And after his death, Jesus appeared to two disciples that were on their road on the way to Emmaus, and he appeared to them as a stranger. So they didn't know who he was, but they invited him to travel with them, invited him to share in conversation, and then they invited him to stay with them at the end of the day. So let's read this story from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 25. "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' And they stood still, their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' 'What things?' he asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. And in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus. And he said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all of the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to where they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over." And so Jesus went in to stay with them. And while he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So there was a custom with extending hospitality that when a stranger would come, you would give them an initial meal and maybe invite them to stay if they needed that without asking them any questions, without asking who they were or where they were from, so that hospitality was offered regardless of status and identity. And then after that first initial meal had happened, then hosts were free to invite and ask questions. And so they couldn't ask those until the meal had finished. And when we see this story about the Emmaus Road, the story where Jesus joins them as a stranger, which is so interesting, right, that he appears as a stranger, they invite him to stay with them, but they still don't know who he is. But it's after he sits at the table with them, after he begins to share that meal, that's when they learn his identity. That's when they find out that they are showing hospitality to the Son of God without even knowing it. Over time, this practice of hospitality became something that was outsourced. So hospitals were one of the things that were created. The word hospital comes from hospitality. These institutions were created to care for larger groups of people who were in need. Hotels took the burden off of individuals to be hosts, as well as, you know, kept travelers from having to rely on the hospitality or the graciousness, the generosity of others. And so our reliance on others decreased, and our homes became more about us and more self-centered places for our own circle of family and friends. Today, when we hear the word hospitality, it can be associated with the hotel and travel industry, or sometimes we hear the word hospitality and we might have images of perfectly clean homes and table settings and dinner parties with all of our invited guests. But it's important for us to see that there's a difference between hospitality and entertaining. When we entertain, we are elevating ourselves. And I know, you know, none of us would ever say that we're doing that, but there's just a little bit inside of us that says, "Here I am, I've done all this for you. See what I have prepared. I've cleaned my house, I've made this beautiful, I've thought of every detail for you." And there's nothing wrong with that. It is great to be the guest of somebody who loves to entertain. And I don't like cooking, so I love a meal that has been prepared by someone else. I love a clean house. I love paying attention to all those little details. But if I'm honest, if I am thinking about entertaining myself, I really just want to get back in bed and take a nap. It is something that is a little bit overwhelming. But hospitality is different than entertaining. Biblical hospitality is about letting people enter and join our space. And not only our physical space, but that internal space within us, a space where connection takes place. That instead of holding someone off at a distance, we invite someone to come close. Hospitality sees the stranger as a valuable child of God. And there's some vulnerability to it. It's not coming from a place of self-recognition. It's coming from a place where you want to practice it in order to love God and love others. There's an author that writes about this, Jen Schmidt, and she says, the quote is going to be up on your screen, "The deep-seated worrying, the excuses, the overthinking of a simple invitation should be warning signs to us, telling us that we're confusing social entertaining with hospitality. When we use our lives exactly as they are, desiring only to create a sacred space for our guests, mixing it with the countercultural truth of loving Jesus and loving others, we turn entertaining upside down and it becomes radical hospitality. So did you see our MPC mission in that? We talk about loving people to love Jesus Christ. That is hospitality. And it's countercultural, which means it isn't the thing that we are first or most naturally going to want to do. After the resurrection, Jesus appears on this road to Emmaus as a stranger. And then the story paints a picture of biblical hospitality. Jesus is welcomed. He begins to walk with these disciples. And initially, let's be honest, they're unimpressed. They're underwhelmed. This stranger seems to be uninformed. He seems to be foolish. He doesn't know what's been happening. He's definitely not in their circle of friends. But they go ahead and they share their story. And then they listen with openness as Jesus teaches them his. They extend hospitality in their hearts, making space to consider all that he has to say. They make space in their home and at their table, taking care of his needs, inviting him to stay. And it's after all of this has happened that they finally eat with him, that they finally see who Jesus is. They recognize who is with them. They are able to receive what God is giving to them and to the other disciples. And if they had kept their distance on the road, if they have just dismissed him because he didn't give the right answers, or if they had got to their home and said, you know, we are exhausted, and we didn't clean up well before we left, we'll just get the next stranger that comes through. If they would have done any of those things, none of this would have happened. They would have missed it. But they made space for the stranger as a friend. And in doing that, they discovered God was with them. This morning, Jeff talked a little bit in the announcements about a group that's here, EF Homestays, that's looking for host families this summer for some different exchange students. They literally are looking for people who want to show hospitality to strangers, to students that are coming for programs this summer. They want homes that will welcome them and literally do these things, take care of their needs, feed them. And by doing this, we are given an opportunity to share our lives, to share Jesus with them. Not only in our words or by bringing them to church, but in our actions, in our homes, in conversations around our tables. And here's the great thing. These students are English speakers. They are coming here because they want to improve their English, so they want to talk to us. They want to learn and they want to talk. There's a part of biblical hospitality that includes welcoming others into our homes. But really, hospitality is about welcoming others into our space, our internal space, which can take place at any location. And church is one of those spaces. We talk about having a church home, we talk about having a church family, yet churches every Sunday can communicate in subtle ways that you don't belong or that you aren't welcome here. Hospitality is about creating the space to treat others like friends and not strangers. And when I think about it, my closest friends are not the people I clean my house for. My closest friends can come over and I don't worry about the mess. I invite them in and I don't spend energy trying to make my life look perfect, which allows room for real connection. It's a lot more than just a courtesy handshake as someone walks through a door. Biblical hospitality is for all of us, not just people who love to host or have big houses. Hospitality is for extroverts and introverts, for rich investors and poor college students, for people who are bored and for people who are very busy. People with big houses and people who live in tiny homes, people with china dishes and people with paper plates. A few years ago, I was listening to a podcast, and the guest on this podcast was Kristen Schell, and she at the time had just published a book about the turquoise table. And I listened with interest. This is several years ago, because she was talking about hospitality, and she was a mom with young kids, and her house was a mess, and life was chaotic, and she felt this clear call that as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, her life was to be about hospitality, but she had no idea how to make these two lives merge together. And then one day she had an idea, and she had an old picnic table at their house, and so she painted it turquoise. Turquoise is the color of friendship. And she stuck it out in her front yard. I mean, our homeowners associations would love this, right? She put it in her front yard, and then she would intentionally take stuff out to work on at the table. So as people walked by, she would be able to say hi, and she would meet people she had never met in her neighborhood, and she got to know them, and she would invite them to stop and to stay. And sometimes the invitations were really intentional, where it was like, hey, you guys, let's meet at the turquoise table. And other times, she would just be out there, and someone would walk by, and they'd pause and stop and have a conversation. They'd linger in a way that wouldn't have happened if she wasn't outside and that space had not been created for them. So this week, actually last weekend, at the middle school retreat, that was crazy busy and all of that. We go home Sunday, and Sunday night, I'm like, all right, I've got to start thinking about next week. I'm going to be preaching. What are we going to talk about? Hospitality. I had this idea. And so I texted Devin Kelly, who's up here on our worship team, and he was on the weekend, so he is home exhausted. I'm like, Devin, do you think you can make a picnic table? And he says, I can have it by Wednesday. And so this week, Devin made this picnic table for us, and he did this with his friend, Brooks Kaplan. So there's a picture of them building this picnic table together. It was an intergenerational effort. And so they built this table for us. It's going to be here for this series. But it's not going to look like this next week. So sometime this week, we are going to paint it turquoise. And then after that, another week, we have a high school student that's going to come and paint on the top over that. And we're going to have this for us in this series as a symbol of hospitality, of a symbol of gathering, a symbol that you can come as you are and sit. And when this is all done and over, we will stick this out that direction, I was told at the last service, where the triangle trees are, where we call Applewood Forest in the fall. We'll put it out there. And maybe you will decide to invite someone to come, have coffee at the turquoise table. Or maybe our guests that walk through all week long in our community will have a place to sit and to stay. It's to invite a point of connection. So if any of you are thinking, I would love to paint a turquoise table, I would love to have someone volunteer to do that. I said that at the first service. I don't know if that they were joking. Not one person. I mean, usually there's a line to see the pastors. There was no one. So they probably thought we were trying to, you know, get them. I need someone to paint the turquoise table this week. But we will do that. And it will be a reminder to us of this theme of hospitality. Probably all of us can think of spaces and times and people that we have seen and experienced doing this well. I think of the time when Jeff and I were first at seminary. We had moved to LA and didn't really know anyone. And we had a 2-year-old daughter who didn't love change and didn't love new places. But all of a sudden, we were in this situation where we had to find a church. And we'd always worked at church. So when you work at a church, you don't choose where you go to church. Like, you just go up and Sunday and go. But when that wasn't the case anymore, we got to go out and find a church to attend. And we weren't crazy about the idea of having to drag our 2-year-old all over the city, but we started the process. And the first week, we went to this small church. We went into the nursery, and there was an older woman that sat in the back of the room in a rocking chair knitting. I promise you this is true. And they told us that she worked for the YMCA, and they hired her for Sundays to come in to sit in the room. And she gets up, and she gets out this box with videos and asks Jaden, do you want to watch Dora or Barney? And Jaden picked what she wanted. She sat her in a chair in front of this big TV, and she went back to the rocker. And an hour later, when I came, they're in the same places. They had not moved. And I thought there was no interaction. There was no talk of Jesus. All there was like, da-da-da-Dora, for an hour. So we didn't stay. We went to church number 2, which was in a more well-known part of town, and it was a bigger church, so they had a class for 2 and 3-year-olds, and we went, and they gave Jaden a visitor tag with her name on it, and I noticed the first Sunday that on the bulletin board in the room, all the kids had their names on these little cute decorations, you know, that all were placed. And then we came back the next week, and the same teachers asked Jaden what her name was and gave her a visitor tag. We came back the next week, the same teachers asked what her name was and wrote her a visitor tag. We came back the next week, they asked what her name was and wrote her a visitor tag. And I thought, how many weeks do you have to come before they remember your name and you get your name on the board where you belong? And so we kept looking. And we finally ended up at this church, this really large church that was so big and their parking lot so small that they had space on Sundays at a school that you drive to and then take the bus to drop you off at the church. And Jaden thought it was great because, you know, free bus ride. So she was excited about that part. But we went to this 2-year-old room and there were over 22-year-olds in this classroom, which is a lot of 2-year-olds. And they're running around, and this older couple comes to the door and greets us, and they introduce themselves, and they tell us that they have been leading this class for years, and they adore 2-year-olds. Here are the things they're wanting them to know and experience in the year. And we went to church and came back, and they were playing together, and the leaders were on the floor interacting with them and talking with them. And we came back the next week, and before we got to the room, they were at the door saying, "Jaden, we are so glad you came back." And there were over 20 of them. So that's the place that we chose to stay, because that small act of hospitality moved us from being the stranger to being a friend. So that is a picture of what that is. This past weekend at our middle school retreat, I had another experience of hospitality. So we can be honest, like, I have not been a middle school student for a hot minute. So I am definitely the mom in the room, the pastor. I am not one of them. And that first night in our first club, we were singing, and at the end, everyone's getting into lines and putting their arms around each other to sing, and I heard my name, Miss Jen, come join us. And it was such a great invitation, because I know I could have walked over and joined and they would have welcomed me, but it's a different thing when you're invited, when you know that someone wants you to come and join them in their space. Hospitality is a posture and a presence and an attitude that says you are welcome here. There's room in my life for you. It might look like a house that's full of people. It might look like a picnic table with two. It can be planned and purposeful. It can be spontaneous, taking that next step of interest when you shake someone's hand, to ask more, to find a time to connect later, to take it beyond the handshake. As we talk about hospitality, we also have to recognize that it comes with a cost. Because we have to give up things to create that space in our lives. Whether it's money or our time or our energy, biblical hospitality is about treating others like friends and not strangers, which means extending that welcome to those outside of our own circles of comfort. It means allowing God to expand our experiences. It means being open to learn and to receive. It means crossing over the divides that keep us with the people who look and think just like we do. But that's what our mission is. That's what our mission at MPC is, to love people, to love Jesus Christ. And those words only mean something when we put them into action. And it's something so simple that each of us can practice starting today and this week, in big ways and in small ways, looking to be a people that go beyond a handshake, going beyond a people that come on Sundays and just look for who you know to go and see and talk with. And it's not just here, it's all through the week in our lives with our neighbors and with people in the grocery store, people that we encounter on the street. Let's be those people together. Let's learn and dig in the series over the next few weeks and really wrestle with what it means to be a place of hospitality and a place of true welcome, where we love people as friends and not just strangers.